Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio. Starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
Pop Life Podcast. Today is Wednesday, September 20th. This is Sean. Jeff is running a little behind. Naima's actually not going to be in today. She actually has some work stuff she had to take care of. But I am here with friend to the room, Tiffany. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good, good. So today might be a little bit of a shorter episode. You have any shout-outs?
Shout out to Greece.
Yes, we definitely going to touch on Greece. I actually uncharacteristically have a shout out today. Shout out to North Carolina Central University. They invited my wife to come out and speak and have a little Q&A at the school. They were very nice, like very gracious. A lot of times she does get offers to speak. Most of the time they'll be turned away for multiple reasons. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like this sort of ambushy feel, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or being peppered with questions. It was like really engaging. The kids were, and I say kids because I have a son in college. Mm-hmm. The kids were really like cool, man. Like it was just a good energy in the room. Mm-hmm. They were receptive. They had good questions. Some of them came prepared with resumes.
Wow.
And very specifics.
Wow.
So it was really cool. It was easy breezy. They really took care of us. So I just wanted to give, you know, everyone that was involved a shout out for, you know, for making that an easy thing for the night.
Okay.
And I really don't have any other shout out. That was pretty much it. You know what? Shout out to Miss Doris Payne. She done got released again. Miss Doris Payne is the famous jewel thief, and Booster, the original scammer, the OG hustler. 86 years old.
Oh, she's one.
Yeah, she just got released. So you know, look, you know, Miss Dara's gonna do what it do, mm-hmm. and you know, she probably in somebody's pocket right now, mm-hmm. and you know, this is what she does. So we'll see how that plays out for her.
Okay.
So getting into some current events, let's talk about. Look, we're just gonna deal with the elephant in the room. Let's just talk about Kevin Hart.
Okay.
So Kevin Hart. If you've been under a rock and haven't seen any of the 18,000 movies he's had the last, you know, couple years, as a comedian from Philly, really, he's been around for a very long time. I don't think people really realize how long he's been around. He actually had a show on ABC like almost 12 years ago or something like that. It was really short-lived series, like 4 episodes or something like that. But over probably the last, I'd probably say the last 6 years, his star has really risen and has taken off. You know, really big budget movies, things like that. Famously divorced his first wife, mm-hmm. and married at that point was his side chick, whom he married and is now pregnant, I think, with their first child. He has 2 children from his previous relationship, from mm-hmm. previous marriage. Mm-hmm. So Kevin found himself in some hot water this week.
Alleged side chick, right?
Yes. Well, that's what... Are they still... Okay, yeah, alleged. We'll say alleged for the purposes of, you know, not being too crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll say alleged. So Kevin found himself in a shit ton of hot water. TMZ had gotten a hold of some footage. Apparently, there were several other bloggers in the black blog space mm-hmm. that said that they had this footage for a while and actually held on to it. Mm-hmm. This really all originated from an out-of-the-blue apology that Kevin posted on his IG account, mm-hmm. Basically apologizing to his wife in a very non-specific but kind of specific way. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, interesting to see the reaction, interesting to see the apology. I'm sure you all have seen it or heard about it at this point. Maybe the next 5 or 6 hours after that, TMZ had a picture up of Kevin really snuggled up and sort of really, it was very comfortable. It was a very comfortable picture.
That smile, he looked free.
Yes.
With the wedding band on.
Yes, which was also very kind of weird. Mm-hmm. And then probably like another few hours after that, there was actually a tape recorded. It appears to be Kevin and this said young lady, you know, walking around after a clear session on the bed, and
I think it was two.
It was two of them.
Yeah, because at one point the bed was rocking. Another girl fell back in her bed like she was worn out. When the girl closer to like that side of the room.
Oh, I didn't see that part.
Yeah, she like fell back like whew, like she was worn out. The bed was still so there was a whole session going on. It was definitely an extra woman in the bed.
Oh, I gotta go back. I ain't see. Oh shit.
Yeah. He was not playing.
Okay. Listen. He was definitely about that action.
Okay.
He was definitely about that action. So, yeah. I mean, obviously, I have thoughts as a married man and as a man, mm-hmm. but I'm curious as to what are your thoughts in this situation.
About which aspect? I have a lot of thought. But which aspect of it?
Well, the aspect of... Well, I saw a lot of people mm-hmm. really sort of taking glee a little bit in the fact that...
Like, oh, it's karma. It's good
yes,
for you.
Yes, the karma aspect was really sort of jarring to me because it was so harsh to this woman. And, you know, I just didn't quite understand that, but, you know, a lot of people did.
Okay, I have a couple of different thoughts. First of all, the chick asking for $10 million is absolutely out of her mind. $10 million? Are you kidding me? Like, I know you start high in negotiating. You start high, you know, in negotiations, and you expect someone, you know, you start high because you want them. Exactly. And I get that, but $10
million? Let me tell you what $10 million did. $10 million said to me, you have no idea of what liquid assets are. Like, you don't have a real idea of money.
Right.
You don't you read a Forbes list.
Right.
You went and Googled someone's net worth.
Right.
And you know, that was it. And you just sort of ran with it. Oh, he's worth $70 million. I'm asked for 10.
Exactly.
And it's just like, it doesn't really work like that.
Exactly.
So that was just super, super crazy.
Super amateur. I thought the amount was ridiculous. I think he is freaking, like, first of all, when you in my opinion, I mean, I don't know. When you have that level of fame, to me, if you're going to be engaging in that kind of shit, you got a pregnant wife at home. Hello, what about NDAs? Have these chicks sign non-disclosure agreements. They need to be checking their phones and shit at the door. Not that I should be condoning or enabling cheating, but if it's going to go down, don't embarrass your wife.
Yeah.
I do think that she probably, I don't think, and I don't know, maybe I'm just a realist. I don't know. In my opinion, like I always say, if I was to marry some famous guy, certain things come with the territory. That's just my opinion. It probably not a bad way. I mean, a good way to look at it. But I just feel like you kind of know the chances of him being completely faithful. I'm sorry. It's slim to none, in my opinion. So I think that it's probably for her. It's like, wow, you're going to do that, but then you're going to embarrass me in the process. She's probably like, you dumb nigga. Why didn't you pay the money?
Yeah.
Pay something.
Yeah.
Why would you, like, embarrass me? Like,
yeah,
you know?
Why would you make this? Yeah, and that's what really sort of threw me for a loop. Well, there were a couple things. One, the NDA thing and having this sort of structured in a way, because it didn't happen that way, and that picture showed me that dude was really
out there
kicking it. He was kicking it with her. Like they might have been spending time where there was no fucking going on.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like he might have been paying somebody's light bill.
Right.
You know my dad laid
it
on
wasn't
his car
just a one and done.
That was not That sniggling,
yeah,
when he was up
cuddling
on
and
her,
stuff,
yeah,
that smile,
that was, I'm very comfortable,
yeah,
and
it
I'm
was
okay.
Intimacy.
Yes, there was an intimacy, there was a level of intimacy that was involved, mm-hmm, that was just sort of, that threw me off.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, listen, I've been a bodyguard, I've been on the road, mm-hmm, and this is sort of pre, you know, being able to record things on your cell phone, so mm-hmm, we didn't really have that to worry about. But yeah, I mean, there were, you had to think about, you know, like, yo, don't, you got to put your phone over here, or, mm-hmm, you know, can't bring no cameras in here.
Look, I've been to parties. I went to T.I. one year, had a birthday party. You couldn't even drive to the joint. You had to drive to a different place, and they, mm-hmm, took the car. A car came and got you and took you to the, mm-hmm, next place. But they didn't even, in that instance, they did, I mean, we snuck phones in, but we weren't doing anything. But the, yeah, point is, you just have to check your phone. You weren't supposed to have a phone to get in. Like, it's ways around certain things. And not that he wasn't doing it. It was a regular party. He was not doing anything.
Yeah.
But the point is, you know, when you get to a certain level, it's like, no. We're not going to do all that in here. You're,
exactly,
not going to be selling pictures to paparazzi and whatnot. You,
exactly,
know what I mean? And his wife was there, Tiny was there, so it was no,
yeah,
shenanigans,
yeah, yeah,
but it's still the point, you know,
yeah,
what I mean? You just know, I just can't for the life of me understand how he, like, when I saw where the, you know, you can see in the video where the camera would have been, you know, set
placed,
up, and
it looked,
yeah,
obvious.
Yeah.
It did not look like it was covered up, that the camera had been placed there, it was set up, obviously, enough, and they did enough to make sure they got the mirrored angle.
Yeah.
To get the bed. So I was like, okay, this is somebody that put a little thought into this.
And
this wasn't...
I'm sorry.
No.
Yes, and that girl that laid back, you have to watch it again, because the girl that laid back, it was so... I was like, oh, she wants to... She
wants to be seen.
Yes. Yes. That was the receipt. That was the receipt.
Yeah.
Because where they were in the bed, you couldn't see them. You could hear the bed squeaking.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, this is my receipt. I was here.
I was here. Yeah.
Yep, that was her,
yeah,
tag.
And, you know, look, as a married man, there's obviously, you know, I'm not condoning cheating. And just as a man, there's a certain level of, my nigga, what were you thinking,
mm-hmm,
that happens here?
Mm-hmm.
And you definitely need to be, like, to me, I think what's going to hurt more isn't the sex. The sex is whatever,
mm-hmm,
I think,
mm-hmm,
you know. That photo,
mm-hmm,
that photo to me was like,
yeah,
real, like, my nigga, you were having an affair.
Yeah, or he was high.
Which, and this is also, that sort of leads me to my other issue with this, is like, this is always the danger of making your brand a family brand,
mm-hmm,
is that you're in this position where you literally can't fuck up, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do anything that is out of the box.
I mean, but he already messed up. He left his wife for his alleged mistress, so that already
But here's the thing. Because he took it all away, he took it all the way to the house and married her, it was viewed as, this was my true love.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's viewed as, no, this is a part of that, you're a serial cheater. This is, mm-hmm, kind of what you do, and this is a part of it. And look, I don't know the guy,
mm-hmm,
obviously, but like, there's something to be said, man, about just I've been around a lot of men in a lot of places with a lot of attractive women. I've,
mm-hmm,
traveled. I'm just going to flat out say it. Kevin's out of his league.
Mm-hmm.
God bless him. He's come up. He's, mm-hmm, had some money for a little while now.
Mm-hmm.
But Kevin is not, I would anticipate, Kevin is not used to the level,
mm-hmm,
of attention,
mm-hmm,
that he's getting from these women.
Right.
And I don't think he has the willpower or the ability to turn this down at the rate that it's coming at him.
Right.
I think it's easy. You know, look, man, you know, you might have somebody at your office, you know, she's trying to, you know, get at you, and you could turn that down. You can figure out a way after that. But you know what? When it's every night, every restaurant, every time you go eat, every time you are, even with your wife, but every time you're definitely not with your wife, it's like, yo, I'm in room 308. I'm in, you know, so I can understand how a man like that, who is not used to that attention, who I still think has some issues, you know, confidence. I still think his height is still an issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that, you know, this is his way of feeling good. You know what I mean? I get to go here. I've never seen him in a picture that wasn't sort of a photo op with his wife mm-hmm. where he looked as happy as he looked in that picture.
That's so funny.
So, and you know, the drugs thing, I mean, look, I don't know. I don't peg him as some addict. I don't know if he might have popped. He was in Vegas. He fucking popped the pill or took a hit of some weed or whatever. Right. I'm not tripping on that. I'm not, you know, that sort of is what it is. So they actually, and again, he did today. TMZ shows him and the wife going out to lunch. Mm. She still has on her ring. They're clearly, she's not happy. Like, you can clearly see she's not happy. And it felt like, you know, we got to do this. Like, you know, you pull up to the valet. You know TMZ is out there. They taking all the pictures. Then he posts a picture in the car with the kids and the wife. And she looks angry. And it just felt like, dude, like, just stop. Just chill for a minute. Okay, let's let her process this shit. Like, this isn't about your brand right now. This isn't about... And you don't need to feel like you need to give excuses or explanations to fucking strangers.
Right.
Like, I don't even, honestly, I don't even think this is a real thing if he doesn't make it a thing.
Well, I think the thing is, the excuses and explanation is probably more so for his wife because he embarrassed her publicly. Mm. So I think it's not necessarily two strangers, but more like he has to do it for her. Like, if you embarrass me publicly, you gotta apologize publicly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's valid. That's valid and that's fair. She probably... You know, maybe she didn't put him up to it, or maybe she probably didn't, but
I think just it's almost like it's, you almost have to now, because you imagine if he didn't say anything, it's just like, well, damn, you know, it's like a lose-lose.
Yeah.
But I think, I think that's a general rule. Like, if you do something publicly to embarrass someone or do someone dirty publicly, you need to come and fix it publicly. You can't, like, you know, like they say, not the same, it's not the same thing, but to analogize it, like, don't, you know, scream my failures but whisper my success.
Yes.
Not the same thing at all, but just the concept of, you know, match, keep the same energy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So, and then today, the young lady, I can't recall her name, I think it's Mayada Sabato or something like that. The young lady has retained the services of Lisa Bloom.
Oh, gosh, yeah, I saw that.
And they did a press conference, which apparently she does not deny that she was seeing Kevin, but does deny that she was the person who was trying to extort him. Mm. So there could be a multitude of things.
Probably had a pimp or something.
It could be that. It could have been the third girl. It could have been, that could have been their hotel spot. You know, maybe somebody from the hotel figured they can get a lick. You know, I'm going to throw this up there. I'm sure he going, this is where he'll be. I don't know. I mean, you know, it just all seems very weird and warped. And that's the other thing about keeping up with this is, like, there's so much information flying around. You don't really know. You got, you know, 17 blogs reporting that she asked for $10 million and it was... Then it was like she didn't really ask for $10 million. It was kind of vague the way the email was written to ask for the money. The feds had gotten involved. So I think that that's probably why the retention of a lawyer came into play, because it was probably like, look, if the feds are involved and we know their conviction rate, like your ass is meatloaf. So,
you know, I wonder if he told his wife before he apologized publicly, or if he, like, if they talked about it. I wonder if she was like, dude, pay that money and make that shit go away. Because some people feel that way.
Yeah.
Like, don't, I just wonder, like, what, you know, what the conversation was.
I think it was just, listen, I think if the lady said to him, if the person said to him, like, give me $100,000.
He'd have paid that.
You call in the bank. You get in that, we're not wiring anything. Mm-hmm. Call a couple goons. Y'all gonna get this in, y'all gonna put this in a duffel bag. Mm-hmm. And y'all gonna go meet somebody in the parking lot at a mall somewhere, right? Like, that's not gonna be, you're not gonna, you know, renege on that. I think the 10 million, and I kind of really do get the feeling that I wonder if that wasn't, I think it might have been the third girl, and the girl he's fucking with, the might have gave him a heads up, like, yo, I think this might happen.
How'd she get the footage?
I honestly think him and the girl that's being shown, I think they have a relationship, like a full blown relationship. I definitely don't think that was a one off.
I wonder if that's the same chick who was in the car that time. Remember they showed him in a chick with a car like a month or 2 months back.
That was a white woman. Well, you know what? Let me go back and look at that, because it could have been. I think that was a white girl, though. But it looked very suspect, and that's when. And again, that sort of goes back to making this like your brand. So when that came out, leave well enough alone.
Right.
If you didn't do shit with this woman, like, don't chum it up. Don't, because now you out here, you're posting videos of you and your wife dancing, and ain't nobody cheating, because that wasn't the one you was cheating with.
Right.
But you exposing yourself, you just putting yourself out there, man. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, look, it's just best, in my opinion, to, how about we just don't cheat, right? Like, there's that option.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely you got to do better. Like, I feel like he needs to go to the how to cheat camp that all them old niggas got.
Hilarious.
Like seriously, like, there's got to be, like, go talk to Mike, go talk to all of the big ballers that have been doing this shit for years that could tell you how to navigate. Same shit with Tiger. Tiger wasn't equipped. Tiger out here fucking waitresses,
yo.
And he just out here wilding, you know, Tiger was out here just going crazy.
He was wild.
And you know, I think that the difference is they're just not equipped. They're not equipped.
Right.
He's out of it, and he's out of his league with certain kind of women. They, like, dude, like, bless your heart, man, but these chicks will bleed you dry.
Yep.
So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. I mean, I I don't want to see a family, you know, broken up. Hopefully they can figure this out. You know, she's like literally about to drop a baby at any second now, so hopefully this doesn't, you know, affect that and affect her.
People keep talking about, you know, like, oh, well, that's what she gets. I don't know. That's what she gets. I don't know enough. I'm not gonna lie. I didn't follow enough to know the timelines of when she got with him versus when he left the last check. I don't really know, but I will say, like, I have a friend. I'll keep this very vague. Who's now divorced, was married. And his marriage ended, like, a while. His marriage ended a while before. Okay, hold on one second. Let me back up. He had a girlfriend. He had a wife legally.
Mm-hmm.
One day he called me. He's like, Tiff, can you believe his wife called the girlfriend? Because the long story short is the cleaner's tag was in the car or something, and the wife got in to take the kid somewhere. She saw the cleaner's receipt with the girlfriend's name on it and phone number. Call the girlfriend. You know he's married. The girlfriend flips out. Whatever, whatever. But he really was not with the wife. Like, I know him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He had not been with that wife for a while. He just wasn't legally married because he didn't want to come up off the money. That's just the reality of it. And they had some kids together. And he's like, she's going to just bleed me dry. But he wasn't in the marriage. He lived separately, everything. And I just feel like, I don't know what the situation is with Kevin and with this girl and his ex-wife. Even though, I don't know, haven't seen that up close and personal, having a friend who literally had a girlfriend and had a wife but wasn't in the marriage, it's hard for me to call this woman a side chick without knowing exactly the dates and what exactly was happening and whether he was in the marriage when he met her or legally married or what. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, and listen, I'm actually glad you brought that up, because I do think that there is a spirit of when a marriage has dissolved.
Mm-hmm.
And The issue really comes with these sort of situations is that even though the spirit of the marriage has dissolved on your half, on your part, it doesn't mean that it's dissolved on the other person's part.
Exactly.
And so that becomes a very dicey situation. And while it's very easy for folks to sit back and have this really, you know, hard line in the sand saying, well, you weren't technically divorced. Yeah, it's like, I wasn't divorced on Monday, but I'm fucking divorced by Thursday. Like, is that okay now? Like, am I able to profess my love for my side chick now?
Right.
So it just kind of gets weird. And I think people, sort of take liberties, with using that to some degree. Oh, David Ruffin done showed up.
Don't stop the tape. Keep it
David
going.
David Ruffin done showed up.
Time is short. Got to keep it going.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that it's a very dicey situation. It's a very tricky situation because there are people who are in loveless marriages of convenience.
Yes. Oh, yes.
For years.
Yes.
So I don't necessarily know that. I think from his wife's perspective,
ex-wife.
The ex-wife perspective, she did not feel that way.
But that's how it always, and that's the thing. Like, I know, because this is my boy. I've known him now maybe nine years.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing that and seeing what he, and yeah, I'm just like, I don't view all situations equally. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know. And I guess, and really because it's the whole karma aspect of it, I'm like, well, damn. I mean, were you in that marriage? You don't know. He could have told her it was over a long time ago, and she was holding on to it until the... And it takes a long... I don't know everywhere, but I know in New York, it takes a long time to get a...
Yeah, you don't just blink. Yeah, that's the other thing. The other myth is, like, you just sort of blink, and the divorce is done. And it's kind of like... That's why when you see people that have been like, oh, I was married for 2 years, and I've been divorced for 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like... Well, damn, like, when did y'all start the proceedings of getting divorced? Like, a year in?
Right.
Because it takes a long time to process. Especially if you have assets.
Yep.
And dude had assets when he, you know, when he divorced his other wife. So, I mean.
And children.
Yeah. So, I mean, I get it. That's a very, you know, it's valid. It's everything is not equal in that sense.
People
are
going to be like, oh, she's defending a side chick.
Whatever. Nah, I mean, and also, too.
Is it what now?
I'm defending a side chick.
Oh, see, I missed the front part.
I'm just being objective,
I don't
though.
Think so, but I don't think that that's outside of... I mean, I'm pretty sure you can point to women that have been in that situation. Like, right now, Larry Fishburne's...
Oh, Gina Torres.
Gina Torres. Like, they have separated. They're in the midst of a divorce.
She busts a spot
with dude
publicly.
But they're not technically divorced, right? But they have clearly, this is a conversation that they had. Like I said, like, that's a grown ass woman. Like, she definitely ain't just out here. And come to find out, they've been separated for over a year.
Since 15, I think it's since the end of 15.
Yeah, way over a year. Yeah. Or they going on almost 2 years separated.
Like you said, with a marriage like that, it's, you know, legally, it's a lot of wrangling.
Because
he has tons of assets. She does okay, too.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know.
How do we think
it ain't just like, you take the Cadillac.
And they have a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
Oh, they have a 16-year-old, too?
Yeah.
I didn't realize they had a child.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so it's... It's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
But Gina Torres is a hot tamale, though.
She ain't bad on the eyes.
No,
okay.
She ain't gonna be long.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm sorry, but like, where are we at as far as topics?
We jumped in with this.
Okay.
We haven't talked about Tiff's Greece vacation, which I like.
Oh,
liked
word. It. Yo, Tiff, you was popping, B. I was checking the gram.
Yeah, the gram was on fire.
I don't know what that meal was you had with all the lobsters on top of the pasta.
Mm-hmm.
That shit looked crazy.
That was an Ermiani. That shit was crazy.
Yo, what's wild, though? And I'm going to let you get into your thing, but it seems like within the past couple years... On the black side, it feels like Greece has become a spot.
No, you know what happened?
Because it opened up lately. I'm like,
no, before, I didn't go to Santorini. I didn't even go to those Santorini, Bupa Islands because of that Santorini, Greece, which Santorini was actually like on my bucket list prior to that song.
Uh-huh.
Not that, I mean, I love the song.
Yeah.
You know, I love the song, but I just feel like it kind of, you know, with anything, a rapper raps about it, and you know it's gonna go.
Everybody talking about Greece now. Going
you
to Greece
already
now.
Know, yes, but no, I didn't go to. I didn't even touch that side of the islands. Like, you know, first of all, I didn't even know it's like thousands, like 2,000 to 6,000 islands in Greece. But I think people live on about 230 of them.
I didn't realize that either.
Yeah, so you can like go to Greece a million times and not even. I mean,
not do the same thing
exactly. But I went to like 6 or 7 islands.
So you was loving. It looked like
I
was loving it.
Yes. First of all, people have a tan. White people can't tell I have a tan, but I do have a tan.
Yeah, black. I can tell you got a tan.
Yeah.
See,
like I see because I'll be on your timeline.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw something about some Greek boy.
In my DMs?
DM.
Yes.
After you came back.
After I came back, I'm like, dag. He was hitting me up today, too.
Man, Alex, Dimitri, or whatever.
Look, all of them named Dimitri. I actually thought he needed a green card. He's on some shit like, no, you come back and live here with me. I was like, oh. I thought he was trying to get to the U.S.
Okay,
he's like, when you coming back? I need you to come live with me. I was like, hilarious.
Like
I never met this dude. He hopped in my gram after he hopped in after, because you know when you tag
the
location. Exactly. Exactly. I never met him.
You was popping.
You was shooting this shit.
Man, I had
a
blast.
So can I get into business a little bit?
Yeah.
Was this a
romantic
thing?
No, just friends.
Okay. I mean, you could do that too. That's fine too.
No, it was just friends.
So did you do nightlife, or you were just on some chill out?
Yachting mostly. So a little bit of nightlife.
She said yachting. said yachting.
Yeah, well, you know,
she said yachting mostly.
Yes,
yeah. Yachting. Mostly we were yachting.
Mostly yachting from island to island.
We did land, but yes. Mostly yachting.
Yes.
You know, we yachted.
We yachted to various islands. We went to Dokos, Perdica, Methana, climbed a volcanic mountain in Methana.
Nice.
We did a hot springs in Methana, too.
Then where'd you fly
Hydra,
into?
Athens.
You flew into Athens and then moved around. Okay.
Yes.
So you went direct?
To Athens?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
JFK to Athens.
How long was it? 9 hours?
9 hours and 45 minutes.
It's almost 10.
Yeah. Amazing. But I had a really good time. Athens was more diverse than the other island, you know, of course.
Yeah, it was a big city.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Of course, African men, no matter where I go, they find me. Shout out to the entire freaking African diaspora, okay?
There's a lot of Africans out there, though.
Okay?
They out here now.
The entire, the irony is that, like, the first African guy I met happened to be from Senegal. That's where my ex is from. I was like, what are the chances that he would be from the same exact country in West Africa? Are you kidding me? So I was asking him, I was like, you speak French? He's like, yeah. I said, you speak Wolof? He's like, yeah. I was like, you Muslim? He's like, how you know so much? I was like, uh-huh. Okay, done that. Met a dude half Nigerian, half Jamaican. I was like, you are a terrorist through and through. His mom is Jamaican, dad's Nigerian. But we were looking for black people. You don't want to meet like black people who live in Greece or whatever.
We met
a guy from California who works for the State Department, lives in Athens.
Okay.
It was really, really dope. Really dope. Hydra, dope island, like real ritzy. You can't even drive cars on the island. You have to boat there. And once you're there, you can only use donkeys to get around the island.
Wow.
Literally, donkeys.
Bro, look, I ain't getting on them.
That's next level shit.
I thought you were going to say they got golf carts or something like that.
Donkeys. Literally donkeys. Yo, let me tell you something that I learned, which is crazy. Cats, meows, run these islands.
Really?
Meow cats. Little cats. The dogs are so outnumbered. The dogs behave. They don't bark at cats. They don't chase them. They stay completely in their place because they know they're so outnumbered.
Wow.
Cats are everywhere. You're eating in a restaurant. They come up. If you jump up, you're the crazy one. People looking at you like, what's your problem? It's a cat.
It's a cat. Stop tripping.
Wow.
I thought it was some religious worship shit, but apparently it's just practical for them because of all the water.
Yeah.
It keeps the rodents out.
Yeah.
I mean, they're everywhere. They're everybody's cats and nobody's cats at the same time.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think I want to
take a trip there. Yeah,
I mean, I had great things.
It's amazing. The water is freaking turquoise. Did you see the pictures?
Yeah,
the water is crazy. Turquoise.
I just hate that, like, when a trip is like that, like, that's a whole travel day for me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, I would have to do, you got to do, like, 6 days, seven days.
You know, in a quick turn.
You know, for me, everything for me is quick.
You know, I
need to be eating lunch. I need to get on something at 7 in the morning.
I need to get the red eye back on.
I need to be eating lunch.
Ain't no red eye in Greece.
Yeah,
right,
so.
Right. And it's 7 hours ahead.
Okay.
And I stopped in Rome on the way back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I purposely booked a layover on the way back because I'm going back to Italy. The Italian men, they about to get it. No, I'm kidding.
Oh my God.
No, I'm going back to Italy,
see,
though.
This is like last time you said, I told you, this is how your timeline be. You
no, it doesn't. It's innocent.
Sham.
It's
timelines
innocent.
Be lit.
My timeline's so innocent.
Yeah, whatever.
But yeah, Rome was beautiful, too.
Okay. I just want to mention Black Love because I know you said you didn't see the finale.
I watched a decent amount of it.
I mean, just want to mention it. It was a 4-part documentary series on OWN about Black Love, obviously. Some celebrity couples, some not celebrity couples. It's kind of talking about their arc in their relationship. I thought it was kind of interesting. It was a little soft soap. In a lot of ways, they didn't go as deep as I wanted them to go. Like, but I think a lot of that was the people who made the show, and I think a lot of it also is we as black people, we ain't putting our business out there like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll say a couple things, but we ain't gonna talk about the deep dark stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
this is culturally not what we are taught
right.
to do.
I think, and that's kind of what I mentioned.
That's kind of what
I mentioned earlier, which is I know every couple had a pre-sit down. Before that interviewer came and was like, look.
Don't bring up so-and-so.
Yeah. You better not talk about James.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Or no stuff crazy shit like that. But, I want to just say, man, like, the only thing that is, not bothersome, but the only thing that does sort of move me a little bit with the Black Love thing is that, like, Black Love is not a unicorn.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's not some far-fetched
shit. It
was like,
oh my God, these people have made it.
Yeah, it's like, and honest to God, man, it's kind of weird. And I know that I say that from a place of, you know, being in a relationship, or being in a marriage. Like, me and Mona, you know, 21 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a long time.
That's a long time.
and like, so I get that I'm saying that with the irony of, you know, this mm-hmm. is where I am in life, but like, it's just insane. So, yeah. Yeah.
But I agree. It was good though. Like, you know, Peace to Own, you know me, I love a black television channel. On TV. I'll be telling, bro, I'll be feeling bad because I'm going to put you a little business out there, little bro.
All right.
You got a couple issues with Ricky Smiley.
Right. Who does?
Oh, yeah.
Because Ricky Smiley does talk slick about Mona.
Yeah.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, he has. But I'll be watching his reality show on TV1 every time I do, I feel mad guilty.
Yeah, you should. You should. Fuck that nigga.
I'll be like, damn. Yeah. I like you, my man, but I want to see what happened this week with them damn kids.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Nah, it's cool. But, I mean, yeah, like, just to say, man, like, you know, the goals aren't just, you know, Tia and, was that Tia or Tamara?
Tia.
That was Tia and Corey. You know, that's not just goals. You know what I'm saying? Your Uncle Curtis and your Aunt Pam, you know what I'm saying? They've been together 32 years.
47 years.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. You know, shit, even, you know what I'm saying, your Uncle Cecil and Gladys.
Never got married.
But they've been married. They've been together. They both their names on the D.
It ain't going nowhere.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. She got the Cadillac. You know what I'm saying? He got the minivan.
He go fishing.
Exactly. And those are goals as well. Like, I don't like feeling like, it, you know, it's almost like there's this overly celebratory thing about black people being in love. Yeah. Like, we were never in love.
And making it.
Yeah, like, yeah. Nah, man. Like, yeah. That's not the case. Like, look internally. Like, it's not just about, like, I know, look, the same way you guys look at B and J and say goals, and I want to do the fly, you know, they on the red carpet and they looking fly. Guess what? Pam and Cecil, when they got their linen on at the Jazz Fest,
it's the same shit. And Hov told you on this album, and B told you on Lemonade, trust me, this shit ain't all peaches and cream.
And we've
been through the same shit as Cecil and Pam.
Exactly.
But I think what happens is, people, you know Cecil and Pam because they, you know them. You know the warts.
Yes.
You know what's happened. We don't really know all the depth of what's happened with those couples on this show because, you know, they don't tell us everything.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, Warren Campbell to me was one of the most open ones.
But I love, I'm a Soul Seekers fan. I love Warren. But, yeah. Like, my question is, does Warren come as clean if there's no one that can attest to that, meaning like if he knows that'll never come to bite him in the ass,
does he
come clean about that? And I'm not saying that in any judgmental tone. I'm just saying that like this is where it gets tricky, where we start to give an enormous amount of credit for very basic traits. It's like, you know what I'm saying? We look at shit and like you take Pap and Remy, people fawn over how Pap treats Remy
and how he stayed with her through her
like bed. He fucking loves her like that's what love looks like
he want to be with nobody, he want to
talk
about the skis,
you know what I'm saying? Like that's what it looks like. And it, you know, I'm not saying don't celebrate the nigga, but I'm just saying like you're like, we'll need to make a statue of every black man that loves a black woman.
And
vice versa,
it happens a lot, absolutely. And this sidebar on the TV thing, so it's a, you know, bunch of new stuff coming on that we'll be talking about this fall. We get new Real Housewives of Atlanta coming back. Married to the Medicine coming back.
Married to the Medicine. You still fucking that name up.
You know, Queen Sugar coming back. And something else is coming back, too. There's a bunch of new series coming back for the fall. So we're going to be diving into our
reality. When's Atlanta coming back?
Atlanta? Like, really soon. Like, in a week or two. Oh, and Brandon's show, The Escape.
Yeah.
Escape
docu-follow
is coming on. So it's a bunch of black stuff coming on. So
too bad my show not coming back.
I know. We love you anyway, though.
You
always a star in our world.
Thank you. Thank you. People still approach me. It's crazy.
No, they do. Did y'all mention Hip Hop Honors?
No, we didn't. No.
Okay. Just want to mention Hip Hop Honors came on Monday night. VH1, Peace to Monum Entertainment, they produced the show. It's a good show. Missy performed, she did a great job. They honored
Jermaine Dupri, JD,
Master P,
Martin,
Yeah, Martin.
Hype Williams.
Yes, and Hype Williams got the video Vanguard thing. Pharrell presented him with that. And it was a good show. It was done differently this year because usually in New York this year they did in L.A. Had on a movie set. Like, you know,
it's on a lot.
On a lot, on a movie lot. Like, it was kind of hip-hop, you know. Like, so the performances are kind of breakout, like, interspersed with the crowd, kind of.
Okay.
But I just wanted to mention, you know, we don't have to go deep on it, but I thought it was a good show. It seemed like the people liked it, too. Really well done.
Yeah.
I want to say peace to Mexico City.
Yeah.
Because that's crazy.
7.1 earthquake. As of now, they're estimating 200 dead.
They're going to find more.
The buildings are literally collapsing.
That's what I'm saying.
So,
you can see videos where, like, there's apartment buildings just coming down like this. And you know there's people in them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like that. I mean, I don't know if people here quite understand. Like, Mexico City might be bigger than New York.
Yeah, I mean, I think
there's 14, 15 million.
Yeah,
Mexico City is like a metropolis.
Yeah.
It's like a huge. I think people don't kind of
understand
how like big New York City is. But it's like having an earthquake here,
and it has more square mileage. So it's almost like having the city of Houston with New York's population.
Yeah, with New York's
sitting inside. Yeah, with the density of New York.
It's bad. 200.
Yeah.
I mean, not to try to sound callous, but if it's just 200, that's a miracle.
Yeah.
As dense as a city is, so we know it's going to be way more.
Right. Yeah,
because buildings are still falling. And
I mean, it happened during the day.
Yeah, prime time.
Which is probably going to be beneficial because you probably have people out, they're walking in the street, people are moving.
Yeah, but the downtime that too happened during the day. During the week, people were at work. These office buildings working, and all of a sudden, you know.
And then you also have, I think a few hours ago there was an earthquake registered in Japan at like a 6.1. Or something like
so,
that.
So, man, I wanted to bring this up because, like, you know, I went to church growing up. You know, like, what's going on for real? Like, there's earthquakes. There's another hurricane just decimated Puerto Rico coming up the coast, actually, right after two within the past 10 to 14 days. It just feels like something's going on with the earth in and of itself, you know?
I think
I'm not saying it's prophecy per se, but I'm saying it
could be science.
I think it's that. I don't think that, I mean, listen, I don't think that the earthquake, it's not uncommon to have an earthquake in one part of the world.
But earthquakes this big.
Yeah.
7.1 is like a massive earthquake.
Yeah, it's a big earthquake. I mean, I think probably you're talking about a few years before you had one before. You know what I'm saying? I don't necessarily know that it's happening with more frequency as much as it's reported. We're inundated.
Floods?
What I'm saying is I don't know that it's... I'd have to look at the numbers to see, is there an increase or are we increasing the coverage of it? Are we inundated with the information?
No, but I think it's an increase. I mean, like, it's taking out whole islands. Like, if they had to rebuild full islands, like, multiple times, I think we'd know.
But then the question...
people from these places, like Antigua or...
But then the question becomes...
You know what I mean?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because that's another... I was going to say this. The other point is, we're building in places that aren't really designed to be, you know, not necessarily like that. What I'm saying is, one, you're going to have storms on islands, right?
Yeah, but not storms that wash away the whole island.
Yeah. Like Dominica.
So Barbuda.
Barbuda's gone.
How old is Barbuda? Yeah.
I don't think it matters. It happened last week.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying... I don't necessarily... Look, I don't know. I don't know that it's happening.
This shit is not normal. This shit is abnormal.
Like, Puerto Rico's...
I know grown up... Like, I grew up in Flatbush, Brooklyn with a bunch of Caribbean people. And people from all... I mean, mostly Jamaicans, and I would say Haitians are probably second, but you can find somebody from every island in Flatbush, Brooklyn. And I've never, for the life of me, imagined, like... people I grew up with, like their parents not being able to go back at home and visit because there's nothing there. That's crazy. That was never a thing. You know what I mean? Like, some of them wanted to retire and go back and build. What are they going to build now?
I feel bad. I hate to sound, you know, callous. I didn't want to come off like that. But
no.
I just know that because we have so many outlets, we're so inundated with the information.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, is it increasing? Sure. I mean, we've had basically four hurricanes this year.
Yeah. And like, and in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, we're in hurricane season, right?
But, like, but so the, I, but these are but massive the severity, hurricanes.
That's what I was going to say. The numbers is one thing, but like they were saying for Maria, I think it is, the hurricane this bad hasn't come through since 1928. Mm-hmm. So I think it's like the severity of the hurricanes, mm-hmm. too, not just the amount of them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like even Houston, for Houston to be flooded out like that, I'm like reaching down to my distant relatives, like, hey, because my grandma, you know, that's where they came up from. They came, mm-hmm. my great grandmother technically left her, her man down there, left her husband and moved to New York. To pursue her nursing career and then send for her kids and her mom. Yeah, they've been about that life. So, yeah, I'm reaching down to them. I'm like, hey, y'all okay? But I've never in my entire life had to reach down to my relatives in Houston to make sure they weren't getting flooded out by a freaking storm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was never a
thing.
That's
why so many people in Houston didn't have flood insurance because Houston doesn't flood.
It was never a thing.
That's why I was like, well, I don't need flood insurance in Houston. You know what I'm saying? No money needed in Cleveland.
Or New York, for that matter.
They're second behind Louisiana, though. In flood claims. In flood
claims. Houston or Texas? Houston itself?
Dude, there was a whole...
I'm confused now. Houston the city or the state of Texas?
No, Houston the city.
They're behind a state?
I'm sorry.
Number two.
When you go New Orleans.
Oh, New Orleans. Okay, that's not confused. Okay.
When you go into... There was a whole article, I believe it was the Washington Post, where they specifically talked about the flood insurance and the insurance game and how in some of these... In some of these locations, they should not be rebuilding. That there was one particular
too much.
There was one home that it was like 15 claims over the course of like 20 years.
The person
got like $900,000 in insurance payouts for like a home that was worth $120,000.
That's crazy.
So I'm saying I'm not saying that the storms aren't hard. The storms aren't heavy. I'm also saying that the dense population, the fact that we are building in places that are, we're just going out there.
I mean, for the U.S., yeah, but I don't think that's necessarily applicable to, like, some of those Caribbean countries. I don't think, like, this regular people's homes that they've been in for decades, you know, it's not just, like, only...
That's valid. And I think Barbuda is, you know, probably... an anomaly. I don't necessarily know that we're going to see increasingly storms, like literally.
But no, what about St. Martin? What about Dominica?
And Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
So they say Puerto Rico is like.
It's not.
Barbuda is inhabitable.
I think St. Martin and Dominica might be.
It's going to be habitable. Puerto Rico got blast.
They don't have another entire island.
There's no power in the whole island.
Yeah, exactly.
It's bad. So, love to all of them.
Also, I think the Virgin Islands got hit bad too, right?
Yeah, they did. Love the Toys R Us. They going bankrupt. They owe $5 billion,
which is a ridiculous. I could not wrap my head around that kind of debt.
$5 billion
for a toy store. And let me say this, man. They used to have a huge store in Times Square. And what I found was that while the store was always crowded.
Nobody was buying.
The lines were always short. Mm-hmm. Nobody was buying shit.
So people was just hanging out.
You go in there, you
see
go
what
on
you
the
want,
Ferris
and
wheel.
You go online and find it for cheaper.
You know.
They had the candy.
You had the
candy.
Like yeah, you go and you play, you bring the kids and all of that.
Sort of day.
Yes, that was definitely a tourist attraction. It was not moving business. And I mean, kids don't really play with toys like that anymore.
Well,
like,
they're saying a couple of things that are. Broad strokes killed it.
Amazon. I knew it.
Amazon's eating everything.
Yeah.
Walmart, same thing. They're eating everything. And now kids are playing with, you know, the kid's toy now is on the iPad.
Well,
it's not an actual toy. It's like, give the baby the iPad while I'm driving the car.
Absolutely.
Or whatever. And you play the games. That's considered toys now. So those hard toys, you know, the Barbies and the G.I. Joes and the dinosaurs and all the trucks and all that we play with as kids, those are passe.
But also, man, all of that shit is at places where you can do your regular shopping.
Yeah.
If you're a mom, right, like you're not stopping making an additional stop.
To Toys R Us specifically.
When I'm at Target, you're gonna get this Incredible Hulk glove. And I'm going to go get some chicken.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And
give him a medicine.
Yeah, give him a medicine. Give him a prescription fill. And your daddy needs some t-shirts and some socks.
Exactly. And we out of here.
And one-stop shop.
Yeah, same with Walmart.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So, and then obviously online is killing everything. Mm-hmm. Retail, across the board, online clothing, online.
And guess what, man? Not every business and not every business model is made to stand the test of time. Toys R Us had a long ass run. Okay, and guess what? They had no problem when they were eating up mom and pop shops that were toy stores in local communities.
Yep.
All right, the game is the game.
Right.
Yeah. Now it's your turn.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Omar coming.
I want to mention that. Did we talk about Jemele Hill?
We didn't, right?
You know about this story, too? Okay, so, you know, Jemele Hill works at ESPN. She's really pretty famous, you know, sportscaster now. Started as a writer and worked her way up the ranks. She does the Sports Center now with Michael Smith. And, you know, very well known. And she went on Twitter, I guess, a week or so ago, maybe a week and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And on her own Twitter, not connected to ESPN, you know, was blasting Donald Trump. I think that Trump does so much fuck shit.
Okay.
I don't remember what he did at that one to make
honestly, I don't think it was anything in particular. I think she was responding. She had a string of tweets with the context of what she was saying. But I don't think it wasn't something he did in that moment.
Okay.
It was just in general.
I was tired of this fucking
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she went off on him and it created an uproar. ESPN, the company, didn't back her. A lot of ESPN employees did.
Mm-hmm.
Like black employees especially, mostly, really. Almost all the black employees backed her. They didn't see many white allies publicly anyway. And apparently the story was that night that the tweets happened, they tried to get her to sit off, to not do SportsCenter. Yeah. And Michael Smith said, well, if she ain't doing it, then I ain't doing it.
Mm.
And so then they called that bluff and was like, all right, nigga, well, you sitting down too. We're going to get replacements. But then they started calling all the black people to replace them. Mm-hmm. And all the black people was like, we ain't replacing
them. Wow.
So they went on. They went
now,
on there.
That's now, amazing.
Yeah. Is that confirmed at any degree, or is that a bit of telephone?
I saw it on Deadspin, who was pretty okay. Solid.
I'm not disputing yeah. that they would do that yeah. because I do think that there's a bit of a fraternity of them there, but you know, it sounded like a game of telephone because it was going.
No,
you know,
matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think I'm the when I read it, I forget who the replacements were.
Yeah, they were like unknown.
But they said it.
Oh, they said okay. They co said okay. Like, yeah, that's right. What they that. Tried, yeah.
They said some cryptic tweets out like y'all, you know, the game is crazy or whatever. Basically, like, okay. They tried to get me to go and
confirm.
And,
okay,
and
okay.
Get it and I didn't do it.
That's what I didn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, it created an uproar. Then it got to the White House. Somebody mentioned it to your girl Frankenstein.
It's cold, bro.
She told from the flow.
That's cold.
That is hilarious. That is so accurate.
But anyway, Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Yeah.
She said, I think she needs to be fired. And then that created, and then Trump tweeted it, and then they created an uproar. But, you know, they're wondering if they were going to fire Jemele. They haven't, and, you know, by now they're not going to. But, I mean, what y'all just think about the whole scenario?
I mean, it is what it is. He is a white supremacist. I think he is a white supremacist. I don't know that she... From what I read earlier, there's some type of clause in her employment agreement that, you know, prevents her from speaking about politics that aren't related to sports.
Mm.
So in that context, it's like, you know, taking the racial element out of it, even if it wasn't about him being a white supremacist, it seems that technically, it's not allowed, you know.
It's a violation.
Right. I don't know. Yeah.
If you was a lawyer, what would you tell her?
See, I'm not going to be on here giving out free legal
advice. My office hours are 9 to 5.
Yes. I mean, you know, look, man. Jemele, she said what she said. Jemele used to be on Twitter a lot.
Ham.
Like, going bananas.
Before she got SportsCenter, she was yes. going crazy.
And you her could tell. I always say it was like your cousins has just got a new job and they can't really fuck around no more.
Yeah.
Like they started to chill a little bit. And it's all good, right? You know, that's a part of the game. But
amazing.
I listen to ESPN quite often. And mostly I listen to Bomani. And Bomani specifically talks about that. Like they it is frowned upon for them to talk about politics without there being a direct context to sports. They really don't like them doing it. And Bomani will say that. Like, he was like, yeah, my boss is like, I ain't touching that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so yeah. That's clearly a discussion being had. Mm-hmm. Now, whether or not Jamel didn't really give a fuck about that, or just felt like, I'm going to say this and I'm going to get this off my chest.
I'm in mines.
Then it's whatever. But yeah, I mean, look, she's good at her job. Mm-hmm. You know, clearly her and Michael are doing well in that sports center slot.
They're getting money.
You know, and I don't know that it was anything. I mean, listen, the statement to me that ESPN put out that didn't necessarily back her was also not really a hardline reprimand. I didn't think they didn't do anything to me that a multinational huge corporation. Yeah. Yes, they're obviously going to say that. Like, that's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, she wasn't suspended. She wasn't publicly reprimanded. Even her apology wasn't an apology.
Yeah, really.
Her apology was saying, I apologize for putting my employers in this position.
Not that I apologize for what I said or how it came out or none of that shit.
Right.
And listen, I don't think, I mean, that's the other thing. It's like, what were you going to do? They understood that if they had taken a hardline stance on her, that there was going to be hell to pay. And they did not want to be on the wrong side of that shit.
Yeah.
Okay? Because guess who? Because while I understand that a lot of middle America is who that 6 p.m. Sports Center is sort of anchored toward, you know who watches all of the First Takes and all of those other shows? Old niggas in barbershop.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's the last people you need saying, Cap, now this?
Yeah.
Oh, we definitely ain't fucking with
y'all. Yeah, we're going to Fox Sports. Mm-hmm. We never talked about Kevin Hart. Did you talk about the press conference today?
We briefly tapped on it. Yeah, we tapped on it a little bit. I mean, you know, listen, you know,
what is the press conference? What was it for?
It was for
her to say, I did not try to extort him.
Yes. Yeah. It was for her to sort of set that ground.
Sure, like, hit us with, I'm an actress.
She's a recording artist.
Recording artist and an actress.
Did you peep the other woman in the bedroom? Did you see the video?
I didn't see the vid.
Okay. I saw the vid, but I ain't seen no other. Now Tiff got me about that. I'm about to go back and take a look at that.
Who put it up? One of the blogs put it up.
Fabulous.
But then they ended up taking it down.
They suspended her whole account.
That's what I'm saying. They shut her whole shit down.
Well, you know what? Keep going. They got I'm gonna shut up.
Jamel Hill. After the show.
Okay.
we only got a little bit of time
his
left.
Face.
But I wasn't, and I know I was mad late, but I was not going to let this show go without talking to Tiff about something you were saying on the timeline the other day.
Uh-oh.
I told you I was going to bring it up.
Okay.
About women glowing up and then men. What was it now? Women glowing up and then men. Let me get it right. Men, not, what was it?
I said the men will settle for mediocre love because they don't have the balls or confidence
to go after the hot
women
shit
they really want.
Yes. I want to talk about that. That's a very good ending topic. So.
Shaking the table.
Because my man in Atlanta came up with a similar type of bullshit. I ain't gonna call it bullshit.
Who?
My man Ike. Ike Dirty. Isaac Hayes.
Oh, okay. Somebody tweeted. Somebody tried to get us to converse. Yeah,
because he called me, told me he was gonna post this. I told him
I don't know him, but I think he's friends with Chris. I think he knows Chris.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Him and Chris are close. So Ike posted something on Instagram, again, totally paraphrasing, basically saying that dating in 2017 needs to be altered, and the reason men cheat is because they settle. Basically, like, a man will cheat. Let me get it right. A man will cheat because in his life can only get the ass that he can get. So if he gets a chance to get that super IG model or whatever in some kind of crazy way, he's always going to go for it. Whereas women are the choosers of who they're going to have sex with. So if they decide they want to have sex with a hot dude, they can make it happen easier than a man. I'm gonna say what he's saying. I'm gonna say that I agree. And then your thing came around, and I was like, we need to discuss that. So let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Where did that spark?
A couple different things. I think that on my trip, there were a few different people in their feelings about it for some reason.
That you went.
And I don't know if they assumed I was with a guy or what their assumption was. I don't really know. I don't know because people, you know, play macho. They don't really communicate fully what is going on. But it's like, you're
you're doing your thing.
Right. So
let me do my thing.
Right. And it's like, first of all, my mediocre statement wasn't about the woman. And it sounds like from what the guy Isaac was saying, about bad chicks. Right. Yeah. I'm not even speaking on that. You know, I wasn't even speaking on that because it's very subjective. Mm-hmm. Just more so the love being mediocre. Like, you know, you want some extraordinary love. You want, you know, or you want some mediocre shit. Like, okay, we're here. We're doing this. We're going to be together every day and make this
might
work.
As well.
But you don't give me exactly. But you don't really give me freaking butterflies. If it doesn't work, I'm not going to be devastated. I'll live. If it doesn't work, I'll move on. If I'm in a relationship and I feel like if it doesn't work, I'll just move on. That's mediocre.
You don't want to be in that.
Yeah, it's mediocre. It's like really,
now you saying that's because people don't want to put in the work to make it butterflies.
No, they're scared. They're scared because
they're scared
people don't.
Because the more butterflies, the more you can get hurt.
Yeah, they don't want to allow themselves to be that vulnerable. They're afraid of the rejection. You know, of if they don't get to choose on who they want to choose on, or even if they do get the person, they're scared that they can't hold on to the person. You know what I mean? They may need to settle for something that's easier to maintain, easier to control, manipulate, whatever it is that's going through these guys' minds. You know what I mean? And like, somebody I know, I saw pictures, like, I guess he might have felt a way. I don't know what was going on in his mind, but when I look at pictures of him, he has a significant other. Seemed like he felt a way that I was in Greece or whatever, but he has a significant other. And I look at the pictures of them, I'm just like, wow, this is so mediocre. It's clearly mediocre. I mean, clearly mediocre love. To attractive
mediocre
people.
Love, I like that.
Yeah, to attractive people, the woman isn't mediocre looking or professional.
Yeah, I don't mean,
or anything
yeah,
like that.
It don't gotta be physical.
Right,
it's
right.
It's like the relationship is just what blah.
It's as clear as day that, you know, he's gonna sit there and maybe something better will fall, and better, and I don't mean better like a better woman, but better for him, you know what I mean? Will fall into his lap. Maybe it won't, but he'll probably string her along for the next 10 years. I think it's been some years now.
Hoping that something else is going to come down the road.
Right, but he's probably not going to pursue something else because that's safe. He has that in pocket. That can't hurt him. You know what I mean?
He knows what that is.
Yeah. I think a lot of men do that. And
do that too? As much, do you think?
For different reasons. Not for fear of being hurt or not wanting to be vulnerable, but more so caving to societal pressures. I think women do settle. It's just different motives. Like a woman would settle because society says you have to have kids now. How could you not have any? You see on Instagram or Twitter, these people say, yeah, they're like, if you're over 30 and don't have no kids, your box is trash.
Your box, yes, I remember.
Oh my
that.
Gosh,
yes.
You see the crazy? Yes, yes, I've
yeah,
the craziest.
That's
well, you know, these are young. These also young boys who don't want to get no ass. If
I'm about to say,
yeah, if there's hair, if she got hair, I'm good. What the fuck are you talking about, nigga?
Yeah, but there are people who think if a woman is not, first of all, I do the choosing, I don't get chose, but there are people who think if a woman is not chose by a certain age, she's washed up or she's no good. But it's like some of us actually really truly believe that we can choose and we have a little bit more time to play with than others. So I personally don't think I'm yet in a position where I have to settle. Some women feel like it doesn't get better from here. You know what I mean? Whatever their options are right now, these are going to be their options. They're going to get better, not worse. I mean, they're going to get worse, not better. Let me grab up on this guy who's interested in just...
Because it's better than nothing.
Exactly. Just get together and have some kids and live fake happily ever after,
I think
you
that
know?
Happened, I know, and again, totally broad strokes, but I feel like that scenario happens a lot in Atlanta for women.
Really?
Yes, mm-hmm. Because because the women are outnumbered. Mm-hmm. And so women get to a certain age.
No, the men are outnumbered.
Yeah, right. Excuse me. The men are outnumbered. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of women in Atlanta, which is a black city, very transient city, mm-hmm. people everywhere, and it's popping and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I think once women hit a certain age in Atlanta, they don't really want to be, you know, going to the club every week and all that mm-hmm. type of stuff. They want to kind of find something. So a lot of women in Atlanta will just settle, like, for a dude who's half decent, or maybe he got some other shit going on, but a lot of them is like, it's better than nothing. Like, I always find, when I'm in Atlanta, kind of moving around, mm-hmm. not in the hot spots, the mm-hmm. more normal parts. Mm-hmm. You always see some like
what's that. What's more normal
part? Like Camp Creek, okay. like, you know what I'm saying? Like okay. like where just the regular folks go, mm-hmm. not like the hot club, you know. Mm-hmm. And you'll like see like little sloppy nigga with his hat cocked up mm-hmm. or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And the chick will be smoking, and I'm like, again, not just to judge on physicality, but mm-hmm. I'm like,
yeah.
But I'm like, you know what? She was like, you know what? Clarence, he, you know, he got...
Clarence got a pinch.
I know he got a couple babies by them other gals, but shit, I'm tired of being out here by myself on Friday and Saturday night and going to, you know, the girlfriend's house for Thanksgiving
yeah.
by myself. I think a lot of women in Atlanta end up settling down for that mediocre love you're
talking about. I don't necessarily know if it's Atlanta as much as, I mean...
In the black community?
Well, in southern locales. I think women in especially New York, L.A., Miami, mm-hmm. I feel like those women...
Chicago.
I feel like they live a much more...
Miami's the South.
Well,
I know what you mean. They don't have a southern culture. Yeah.
And so I think that you guys live a very different lifestyle.
Yes.
It's a bit more aggressive. You guys are working women. You guys are career women. Like, yeah. you know what I'm saying? Like,
making some decent coin.
Like, nigga, I'm good okay. over here. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Or yeah. I want this one.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go get at it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I just think
the brunch
culture.
The brunch culture that is now, like, really exploded, you know, in, you know, like I said, L.A., Chicago, mm-hmm. New York, and D.C. and
D.C.,
Atlanta.
Yes.
They know brunch culture in South Carolina. Oh,
yeah. Right. That's,
they know
yeah.
brunch culture in Raleigh
yeah.
or in Jackson, Mississippi. Yeah. They're not doing that. Yeah. They like, we're going to church, and we yeah. come home, and I'm cooking.
And that's it. Right. And
you ain't no option to do other things that you have options to do here. You know?
Can I just say, you know, and this is, you know, I don't really have, it's so interesting to me, because, like, I don't find, in my experiences, I don't have the same issues with dating in Atlanta. I probably got more good prospects in Atlanta than I do in New York. No bullshit.
Well, that's
quality.
But you know what, though? Quality. That also is because I think some of that could be, I think a lot of them Southern boys like a New York guy.
They're not all Southern. They live in Atlanta.
There's a lot of transplants. There's a lot of transplants
in
Atlanta.
Southern, but I got people that live, you know, that live there. I don't know. And the one thing, I guess the common, I wish the good people could find each other in Atlanta. That's really, because one of the common things I hear from the men in Atlanta is like, it's a lot of quantity, not quality. But it's like, no, I know quality women there too. I just feel like they don't find each other for some reason.
I think that, yeah, and you know, to me, that's always a subjective term, right? Like the quality of a woman. Like mm-hmm. what are they saying? That, like, you know, I got these four things that are must-haves, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? She's got to have these four things, right? But, like, she's got those four things, but maybe she's a size 22, right? Like, I'm just saying, so it's like, yeah, well, I'm going to go fuck with shorty that only got two of these, but
right.
she's smoking.
But she's an IG guy.
Yeah, like, right. So that's where it gets very tricky, because yeah. we still operate from the physical.
Yeah.
We operate from the physical. Like, yeah. if I am not physically... And I mean, look, I'm married 21 years. Like, I'm still physically attracted to my
yeah,
wife. Like,
yeah.
I'm still smacking on her ass yeah, and all
yeah,
that sort
yeah.
of shit. Yeah. All that. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Like, so... That, but I can understand that's, you know, that needs to be a thing. You do need to be
yeah.
attracted to, you know, a
but
person.
But I think now, and nowadays, that physical thing is going to another level because of social media.
Yeah, I mean,
so IG and Tinder and all these other, you know, things have really emphasized the physical.
Bro, it ain't even just for women.
No, it's for dudes too.
Like, I've never seen this. I remember working out. When I was like young, and it would be like maybe it was like five of us. Like, dudes weren't working out like that.
No.
And now,
yeah.
that shit is like religious.
Like, if you ain't got a gym membership, say, what the hell's wrong with
nigga,
you?
Every picture. Like, yeah. nigga, I'll be like looking, I'm like, yo, you my nigga, right? But like, my nigga, every picture you in the gym, nigga? Every picture? Like,
niggas in the gym,
you ain't doing say, nothing else, my nigga. Nothing.
So gym and you drinking your creatine.
Yeah, it's always the eating.
Yeah,
they got
yeah.
the steak and the potatoes.
Yeah,
like,
oh my gosh,
grilled
that's
chicken.
So funny.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
The grilled chicken. That's it.
The grilled chicken
with the veggies.
But I just thought that what you brought up was very interesting, because I do think there is a lot of fear in people pursuing you know, relationships. Like, I think it's on both sides. It's a lot of fear. But I think, to me, again, I'm talking,
I think a lot of
broad
men.
Strokes. Mm-hmm. I think it's more men with the fear than women. Like,
yeah.
Like, you just see it. Like a perfect, I'll never forget, the perfect example is, there's a movie called Say Anything, if you ever saw it. Came out like in the late 80s. It was with John Cusack. And the gist of the movie was, he was this guy, they were high school kids, and he was like the high school kind of like weirdo. He like was a kickboxer, and he used to wear like his trench coat, and he was like a weirdo. He was cool, but he was kind of like a weirdo. And I forget the woman who played the girl. She was like this really pretty girl. She was like a valedictorian, straight-A student. Mm-hmm. So he had a crush on her. So he asked her out. Mm-hmm. And they go out. And there's a lot of things happening. I was not going to get into. But when they go out, they go to this big party at some kid's house. They have a big party. So he walks in with her and everything. So this one kid walks up to her. He was like, yo, you with... They'll say Tiff. I don't remember her name. Say, yo, you with Tiff? Yo, how did you get her to go out with you? And he said, I asked her. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I asked her. She said yes. Mm-hmm. Like, again, but that fear thing of, like, you mm-hmm. see this girl, this woman, you know, somebody like you, you know, educated, smart, doing your own thing, very independent. And a lot of dudes is probably like,
we
I ain't going over there. She's going to shut me down.
Yo, your boy, whose name I won't say.
Please don't say that.
I would not.
Don't kill nobody.
Who you know.
You tell me after this show.
We made jokes. I told you he was supposed to be my husband.
Yes.
Like, he makes these comments to me, and he'd be like, nah, I can't. I'm like, dude, you getting it. Like, of all people.
He is getting it.
You're the man.
Like, yeah, he's getting it right now. He's doing very well for himself.
Yes.
and he's still got that mentality of, like, I can't mess with you.
Yeah, he doesn't. Well, I mean, he didn't say that, but it's more like, I know from our conversation that he thinks I'm a lot to, like, you know, he don't want to deal with the shenanigans. Like, no, Tiff, because I know you got this kind of dude trying to get at you and this kind of dude. I'm like, but you are good. Why are you worried about that?
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, you're doing well for yourself, and you could, and I'm talking to you.
A lot of guys don't like taking the L. Taking the L is hard. This is why I always say, this is why a lot of these NBA guys and they you know, famous athletes, they're not really equipped. Because they didn't have to take the L's growing mm-hmm. up. They didn't have to muster up that. You know what fucking, you know how much courage you got to muster up to walk across a dance floor in high school in like fucking 92 to go ask somebody to dance? Like, I mean that.
And if she says no, you got to walk.
Nigga, you got to walk all the way back.
And your man's name is looking at you.
Niggas is looking at you. Clowning. They tearing your ass up. Everybody poking at you. Whispering. Mm-hmm. I say that because it breeds a sense of like, you really don't want to take them
I'll
L's.
I'll take the easy path.
Right.
I'm going to take the path
but
of least resistance.
But you can leave the heart eye emojis in your comments on Instagram.
The ones that I don't have to really work hard to get.
I know she ain't going to give me an L.
And I know I don't have to do a lot to maintain her mm-hmm. because I'm the prize here. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Oh, like,
I'm the come up.
That's just how.
So mm-hmm. so if the dynamics is I'm the come up, then I could go and do whatever the fuck mm-hmm. I want.
I know she ain't going nowhere.
She ain't going nowhere, and she gonna take all of the shit that I can mm-hmm. give her. Right? And so a lot of that shit is strategic, more strategically placed than I'm just looking to settle.
No, I think they do, though. I think they do. Even, like, you know, when I talk to some of my guy friends, like my platonic homeboys, mm-hmm. Some of them, I'm like, yo, you're not even happy. What are you doing?
What do they say?
What are you doing? Oh, Tiff. One of them is like, Tiff, but...
You don't understand?
Yeah. I'm already older. Like, one of my boys, he's in his late 30s. He's like, I'm too old for that to be out there back in the dating game. Plus, I got kids. You know, I don't know if chicks don't want to deal with that. I'm like, dude, you got kids, yes, but you also have money. I'm like, you don't have baby mama drama. Yes, doesn't have baby mama drama or anything like that.
Cause it's an ex-wife.
Right, and it's an ex-wife. You know, your kids are with an ex-wife. It's a marriage that didn't work out. You weren't out being irresponsible, knocking chicks down. You know, all the same women, your ex-wife who you were married to for years, and you have a career, you were educated. Like, it's not, like, why are you kids? It's not like the same. You know, people don't want men with a bunch of kids because it's like, well, he's going to be paying all child support everywhere. He can't help to contribute anything here. I'm like, that's not an issue for you. But somehow, some way, he's like convinced himself. Not, you know, he doesn't even want to, he just thinks where he is now, it's safe. Like, he doesn't want to go out there and have to date again and, like, get shot down or try to go for
a...
Right, because women... He thinks that he's not going to be desirable to certain kinds of women because he thinks he has baggage. He's internalized this kind of baggage. Part of it, though, I'm not going to lie, is because somehow he allowed this woman to convince him that he isn't desirable, but that's a separate issue.
Yeah.
But I'm like, yeah, so I do think some of them do intentionally, you know, or maybe subconsciously settle because they don't want to go out and actually get... They're not trying to, you know, it's like a defeatist mentality. Like today,
I was 19 when I met my wife. Mm-hmm. You couldn't tell me a motherfucking thing
okay.
at 19. Nigga, I was, shirt was off. I was out here. You understand what I'm saying? I don't know that like there's a confidence that comes with being young and hungry.
Yeah.
And naivete.
You don't even know.
Nigga, I was shooting from half court.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm.
I was letting it fly.
I
was letting it fly, nigga.
Mm-hmm. It's like somebody asked a question. Somebody asked a question yesterday about when's the last time you, they asked on Twitter, when's the last time you told a person you loved them first? And I thought about it. I answered. I was like, wow, December 98. That's crazy. And that just goes because I was young and dumb. Now would I be holding off telling I love you? Hell no. No, yeah. No.
Why not?
I'm not.
Why not?
For the same reason dudes settle.
Because of the L.
Yep.
The L, yo man, people don't understand. There's a navigating process of life trying to avoid the L's because there is nothing like putting yourself out there and being told no. You're not good enough. Because it's not just no, right? The no is easy, right? No, whatever. But the feeling of damn, what was I thinking? So now everything is racing in your mind.
Yeah, what did I say wrong?
What did I say wrong?
Yeah.
What about me? You start to internalize that shit. Like, what about me is the problem? What's going on? And that's what I'm saying. Nigga, at 19, there was no problem for me. I'm out here.
What's good?
I had no baggage. Yeah. I had nothing. Yeah. Nigga, I ain't had no kid. You know, and then, listen, at 19, look, I got niggas I went to school with that's grandfathers. So, not having no kids was a big deal.
Yeah,
right? You know what I'm saying? At that age.
16, 17.
Easy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't necessarily know that I navigate that space with the same confidence at this age.
Right. And after having multiple experiences. Because it's like, if you were out dating and you weren't married all this time and you were dating, you probably carry all of your experiences as a certain amount of baggage, whether it was, you know, intentional or not. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, even me not wanting to tell dude, oh, I love you first. Clearly, that's because of some situation that happened. And it's some baggage that I'm holding on to, like, whoa, I said some shit prematurely before, and now I didn't like the response, so let me just fall back.
And that's okay.
You know what I mean?
And that, to me, man, and to me, that's okay. Don't feel like, yo, like, your experiences make you who you are.
Mm-hmm.
That's the shit that makes you different from everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't feel no way that your experience is leading you down that path.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is what it is. You know what I'm saying? I'm even uncomfortable with the word baggage, right? Because it insinuates, like, a load or something heavy or, you know what I'm saying? It's not always bad. Like, some of that shit you can really take in and process it, especially if you're at an age where you can process information. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you process that because, and it's not just you processing that. There probably was something that person did, right, that led you to say, maybe I shouldn't tell this guy that first, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't really know that that's the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Let me wait until, you know, let me dip my toe in this water before I dive in here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Good one, Tiff.
Good one. Hilarious.
Good one. I like that one. So, I think I already got the name for the show. We ain't taking no L's.
No, but I said I'm going to start shooting, but I haven't. But I said I was going to start shooting.
When you shoot.
I don't shoot. I'm scared to shoot.
You've never shot?
Have I ever shot?
How do men react? That's what I wanted to know. Do they take the shot? Or are they like kind of like, oh, chill, shorty, you're a little aggressive?
I'm thinking the last time I shot, honestly, like, the crazy thing is that if I'm shooting, I don't care. So if I'm shooting at a guy, 99.9% of the time it's a joke, because if I really cared,
you
I'd be too
shoot.
Scared to shoot.
But do they take you
I'd
up
be scared
on the,
of rejection.
They take you up on the joke. And they say, okay, well, it's good then.
When have I shot for real? I haven't shot. One time I rubbed my boob on one of my boys. I was playing though, but he's cute though, and he's fly, right? So,
you know what I'm saying? But he's cute though.
Right. He's cute and he's fly and stuff, and he got his shit together. So I put my boob on him, kind of playing, and he took it there because like 5 minutes later, he like was like, Tiffany, come here for a second, and I was like, what? He's like, come here, I want to talk to you. How do I say this? We were at a function with multiple people.
Okay.
So he got up and he was like, come here for a second. I was like, well, he's like, come here. I went over to him and he pulled me in the bathroom and put his tongue down my freaking throat. Nice. I was like, oh my God.
I rocks with him.
I was like, oh my God. Like,
you put some big ass titties on me.
Nigga, I know what. Hey, nigga, we ain't playing.
Exactly.
What I'm waiting for.
That's what we doing tonight.
What I'm waiting for.
That's what I've been waiting for. I've been waiting for the sign. Okay.
So, you know, and then that, I was playing, you know, when I did that, but I mean, we're cool, you know, yeah, what I mean? And so it was like, whatever, it's some, we playing, we probably drunk, it's a sports function.
Yeah, it's cool.
But so, but no, I don't, seriously, shoot, I be too scared to shoot. I'm nervous. And here I am talking about men not wanting to get, no, but that's different, I think, because from, no, it's not, I guess, let me try to reconcile, because I'm talking shit about men not wanting to, you know, but I guess the difference is I would not settle for mediocre love because I'm scared to shoot. I'd just be alone. Like, me being afraid to shoot, I'll wait for the right person to shoot for me before I take anybody who shoots and just sits there on some lack of chemistry, you know, a situation with lack of chemistry completely. You know, that's like...
Yeah, I don't think your personality is, what's the word I'm looking for, is as timid enough to withstand a relationship like that. Like, like even if you did, like, I don't, you know, just knowing you, the way that I know you, I couldn't imagine that shit lasting more than a couple
you
months.
Okay.
Like, I could see you say, all right, fuck it, I'm going to go shoot a shot. And by, like, month three, when you in the house again on a Friday, bro. And it's, you know,
we got to like, talk.
Yeah. We need to fix this.
Yeah. I'm going to say one more thing. I saw somebody say on social media that I thought was interesting, which is, that women, dudes think. So women actually set dudes up to take the shot. Like, dudes think they just taking a shot.
Oh yeah,
a lot of time
yeah.
women are doing subtle things that we don't realize.
Yes.
So the shot is there for you to take.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, I saw that. I was like,
is that what an alley-oop is?
Yes.
Kind of.
They throwing you the alley. They letting you know. Hey, nigga.
Right.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Right.
I ain't rub my boob on you for nothing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So on that note, we're going to wrap it up. And we will see y'all next week.
Peace.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook, send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter @poplifepodcast. Talk to you next week.